This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
You know, make it rain when you can make it thunderstorm. I'm like, why? The world needs sun, the hood needs funds. There's a war going on and half the battle is guns. How dare I throw it on the floor when people are poor? So I write like Edgar Allan to restore. Got a cord, umbilical, attached to a place that can't afford no landscaping or window draping. This old lady told me if I ain't got nothing good, say Nathan. That's why I don't talk much. I swear it don't cost much to pay attention to me.
And welcome to another assigned episode of the Click Nation Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Steele Double G. And tonight we are recording on January 15th, 2013. And I am joined by the one and only Mr. Bamf.
Evening, bitches.
That is all.
Yeah.
And it's
just us tonight.
Yeah, it's just us tonight because Leroy Jetstream is, we're assuming, otherwise preoccupied, and Adam Black is awesome.
Bro.
He's busy with his Time Zones podcast. And Adam Black is also busy, so he may join us near the end of the show. We're not sure, but if he is, we'll, of course, have him join join this recording. But yeah, it's running the two-man weave tonight.
Right. Yeah, I think Stream is like, you know, he's doing his own shows now, so I think he's too big for the group show now. So,
nah, because I uploaded the last Time Zones episode 4, something with hip hop, and I forget what else the title says off the top of my head. But I know he said that he, at least in the show notes, he said he was going to keep the weekly and around 30 minutes long, so that's kind of like the perfect, you know, time frame to knock out his many thoughts.
Yeah.
And we know
I've yet to listen to one. I'm scared to listen to one. It's like, y'all know I love this train as well, but it's going to be 30 minutes of rambling, and I can't wait. It's going to be hilarious.
Definitely listen to the first one, then. Because it's Jetstream as he checks the news, basically.
Right.
Live on the air. As he jumps from...
Live on air.
Yeah, basically it's him on the internet just seeing what news articles are out at that time. And giving his opinion on them.
Oh wow!
That's just the first one. The rest of them have a theme though. So like, the second one was his Django Unchained review.
Right.
And I forget what the third one is. I haven't listened to the third one yet.
I've gotten listened to that first episode. I am pretty sure that that shit is magic. I'm telling you.
Yeah, like I said, I enjoyed it. So, yeah, definitely go check that out. And also check out the my Comic Book Chronicles podcast, which is also up on theclicknation.com. Done a couple recent episodes last month, really. Mostly concerning Spider-Man and what's going on in his titles.
Right.
But, so like I said, go to theclicknation.com. You can listen to all our archived podcasts and blog articles. Follow us on Twitter at TheClickNation. My Twitter is at TimDogg98. And Mr. Bamps is at...
Oh, yes. At MISTABAML. Yeah. I forget I have the damn phone.
It's all good. You know?
And I got the Twitter, like, the app is, like, on the front page of my damn, on, like, the screen of my damn phone. I still forget that some bitches are, until someone tweets my name. It's like, oh, that's right, I do have Twitter.
Yeah, some of our listeners actually do tweet you from time to time.
Yes, thank y'all. I don't tweet y'all, but kiss my ass.
And like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheClickNation. We're on Google Plus, search for The Click Nation, and we also have a The Click Nation community, and that's the name of the community on Google Plus. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheClickNation. Make sure to favorite us and subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Please share and retweet our episodes if you enjoy them. And also make sure to leave feedback, iTunes reviews, or I believe you can leave comments on Stitcher, which I actually need to check somehow. Or you can also always send us email to theclicknation@gmail.com. And let's see what else we got. Our podcasts are also available on the Comic Related Podcasting Network. Find them at comicrelated.com. And shout outs to the Pop Culture Network, and that's popculturenetwork.com. They provide me with a lot of the comic books that I do my reviews for. So many thanks to them.
Cool.
All right. So the subject of tonight's episode is going to deal with the recent releasing of the 2013 Oscar nominees. That was, as of this recording, I think that came out last week, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, of course, with our resident movie buff, Mr. Banff, we wanted to get his opinion on what he thought of the nominees and if there were any surprises or snubs, etc.
Yeah. There are definite snubs. Damn it.
But, yeah, we'll get to that in the later on in the show. But sticking with Mr. Banff, we want to find out what the fuck is out on Blu-ray.
Ain't shit out on Blu-ray. Taken 2.
So I was gonna say I heard mixed reviews on Taken 2.
Yeah, I mean that's what I heard. Yeah, I heard mixed reviews on it too. I'm guessing it's kind of sort of the same movie, just with more people getting kidnapped. I don't know. I'll take time out to look at it because I love Taken 1. Taken 1 is like the funniest movie ever created. Liam Neeson touches down in Paris and he fucking the whole city up with his damn daughter. So, you know, it's beautiful. But, I heard mixed reviews about Taken 2. So, unfortunately, I did not get to see it, you know, because, you know, I mean, there's just certain things I plan my movie year out. I don't know if anybody else does that. I plan my movie year out. The movies that I'm going to see in the theater, I'm going to see in the theater, and that's it. And I don't add or take away from that. So, and Taken 2 just, unfortunately, was not one of the movies I was planning to go see in the theater. So, I'll check it out eventually. I'll let y'all know.
That sounds like a topic for another future episode. Have you run down your planned movie schedule for the year.
Exactly. That is a good idea. I will, yes. Yes, 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 damn it. I will write that up and soon you will do that.
That's jotting it down now, Mr.
Pants. Thanks, sir. The shit you should see in 2013. The title of the damn. God damn it. That's how we do. We come up with shit off the top of our heads in this motherfucker.
Yes. And actually, that actually sort of ties in the Kojak Delta had sent me a message with some show topics, basically along the same lines of, like you said, your 2013 movie schedule. He just wanted to see a whole bunch of, hold on, let me find it so I can, 2013 prediction show, where we, like, I guess, give, predictions or, like, an outline of, like, stuff for games, movies, comics, sports, the Click Nation movie stuff we have planned for the year. So, yeah, that's definitely something we'll get to this year.
Oh, Jack, you need to bring your ass onto the show, goddammit. I don't know what the hell. You know all this correspondent shit. You need to be on the show. At least once.
I'll work on that. Getting the man on the show. He provides a lot of feedback, so definitely got to get him on.
Right.
All right, so the only thing out on Blu-ray is Taken 2. So,
yeah.
Check that out.
And if you've seen it, tell me. Email us. Let us know if it's hot or not. Let me know.
Yeah, let us know if you hate it or love it.
Right. It'll love it. $100 on top. Shout out to the game.
And now for some Click Nation news. We only have two new segments tonight, keeping it nice and short. Both courtesy of Mr. Banff himself. Let's see, the first one is Superman related. Court rules in Warner Brothers favor over Siegel Estate. It would seem that the long-standing battle over just who owns what parts of the Superman character has come to an end with a ruling by the court system, putting to rest the long, hotly contested issue. So according to Deadline.com, it seems that the estate of Superman co-creator Jerry Siegel has lost its bid for half the copyright of Superman. Notes the site, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal has ruled in Warner Brothers' favor in the long-standing copyright claims with the heirs of Superman co-creator Jerry Siegel that there was a binding agreement in 2001 giving the studio full rights to the character. The ruling Thursday, this was as of January 10th, the ruling Thursday is basically a green light for Warner Bros. To now move forward with the Superman big screen reboot, Man of Steel, and other related properties without the specter of further legal action from the creator's heirs hanging over them like kryptonite. This follows an earlier defeat in a case launched by the estate of co-creator Joe Shuster. Sources Deadline. So,
hey.
Basically everything stays the way it's been.
Yeah, everything's staying the way it's been. I mean, back in 2001, if anybody's read anything about that contract that was signed in 2001, it was said that was it. They could not ask for any more money, no more copyrights, nothing. This is it. Because these families are getting paid $2 million a year each for the rights to Superman. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and this lawyer guy, I forgot the sucker's name, but he comes in, he convinces them to, pursue legal action against Warner Brothers. So now, not only have both of these families lost these cases, they got to pay, now you got to pay legal costs. You got to pay your attorneys, you got to pay court calls and all this shit because y'all motherfuckers got greedy again. I mean, come on, $2 million a year? Shut the hell up, please. Can somebody give us $2 million a year? I mean, I don't know about you, Tim Dog, but $2 million a year for some shit that I drew, I'm good with that. $2 million a year for the rest of my life, I'm good.
I'd make it work.
I'm pretty much set. I can make that work. I think I can budget $2 million a year. I think I can. Anything on that? Yeah, I can.
So you said it's $2 million a year for the rest of your lives?
That's my I feel about it. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just $2 million. Period.
No. Oh, sir, this is $2 million every year. Every year.
Mm-hmm.
One of those cut these family, these families a check. $2 million.
Man, please.
Here you go. Exactly. Nothing. You know, that's why I was looking at them crazy when all these lawsuits start showing. I'm like, wait a minute, wait. Why are we even having this discussion? That's $2 million a year. Here you go. Must be nice.
Yeah, must be.
Mm. Yeah.
So
it's just... I'll be sending my comic book creation to Warner Brothers shortly. trying to get that $2 million a year deal. Because they can say, they give me $2 million a year for the rest of my life. They can say what the fuck they want to. They created it. They sure did. Mm-hmm. As long as I get my $2 million a year, I'm good.
And let's see, the second news, and final news for tonight. White House responds to Star Wars Death Star petition.
Hi, are you?
And this is from the Hollywood Reporter. The White House officially responded to a We the People petition to secure resources and funding and begin construction of a Death Star by 2016. The statement from Paul Shawcross, the chief of the science and space branch at the White House Office of Management and Budget, listed three main reasons for the White House's opposition. Number one, the construction of the Death Star has been estimated to cost more than $850 quadrillion. We're working hard to reduce the deficit, not expand it. Makes sense.
Quadrillion is a cube.
Is that even a real number? Apparently,
I don't know, but it's a lot of money. It's a lot of fucking money. They need, come on, quadrillion with a cube.
Number two, the administration does not support blowing up planets. And number three, why would we spend countless taxpayer dollars on a Death Star with a fundamental flaw that can be exploited by a one-man starship? The state.
I agree.
Yeah. Because if it happened in the movies, then it's got to be true.
Right.
The statement goes on to extol the Obama administration's accomplishments in space policy, including sending a new probe to the sun and building a more powerful successor to the Hubble telescope. Blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that's about it. Some fools want to try to get a Death Star made.
I mean, you know, not that the government, we have more important shit to worry about, but we want a fucking Death Star. Why? There, as far as we know, as of this time, there are no planets threatening Earth that will require us to need a planet-sized space station to destroy it.
Yeah.
You know, when such time does of that may occur, then we might want to, you know, reevaluate our position on the whole building of a Death Star thing. Until then, I call it stupidity.
And stupidity would be the right word. So, that's it for Click Nation News. And we're not taking a break tonight because we're going to go straight into our show topic for tonight, which is the 2013 Oscar nominees. Dun, dun, dun. So let me see. I'm getting this straight from abcnews.com.
Right. Right. Oh, I'm going to throw up a disclaimer to all our listeners. You have to understand where I stay, and probably it's probably true for where Tim stays as well. We stay I stay in a town where there's one movie theater. Well, there is one movie theater, and a lot of the major kind of like art house or dramatic movies we normally don't get, or and if we do get them, they're in. If we don't go see see them like the weekend they come out, they are gone by the next weekend. Mm-hmm. So most of these, let's face it, we have not seen. But we still gonna talk shit about them because that's what we do.
See them while you can. So we'll just go down the list and I'll say a category, list the nominees, and we'll just sort of give our opinion. Or mostly at Mr. Bamp will be giving his opinion. Ooh. Because majority of these movies I haven't seen.
Right.
Or have I even heard of.
Right.
So first up we have Best Picture. Also this is the, I guess it's the 85th Annual Academy Awards. Yeah, 85th Annual Academy Awards.
Damn.
And first up is Best Picture. And let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 movies. That seems like a lot.
Yeah, they expanded the Best Picture nominations. They added more nominations the year Dark Knight got snubbed. The year after Dark Knight got snubbed for Best Picture. But then they snubbed Dark Knight Rises. Like,
we haven't learned our lesson.
Right. I mean, you know, I don't call it a snub, but you know, go ahead, read the list, and then I'll get back to my snub.
Best Picture: Beasts of the Southern Wild, Silver Linings Playbook, Zero Dark Thirty, Lincoln, Les Miserables.
Just say Les Mis.
Les Mis.
You none French speaking people.
Yeah. Life of Pi, Amour, Django Unchained, and Argo.
Right.
So that's it.
Yeah. So, yes, I like that I saw none of those. Sorry.
You saw none of them?
Except for.
You saw Django.
I saw Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh, okay. That's the Osama Bin Laden one, right?
Yes. Okay. Intense as hell. Really? That's all I gotta say. Fantastic film, though. Intense as hell. It is not a movie that you want to see twice. It is a movie you see and you like, and because by the time you finish with it, it's like, oh my god, you like exhausted. It's like, you know what? I really don't want to see that again. So yeah, I caught that on the boot, but I wish, you know. So you know, yeah, I know it was wrong, but you know. But yeah, none of the other ones I saw. I hear you good things about Django, but I have this. I am not a Quentin Tarantino fan. I think, and I don't think anybody realizes that Quentin Tarantino has this. I don't know what it is. This like almost fetish like need to use the word nigga abundantly. it's like wait a minute. You know, it's like, yeah. Does no one realize? This is a white dude, and he's just saying this shit, using this shit liberally.
Oh, people realize. There's a big number of folks that aren't crazy about it, just because of that fact.
I mean, right? I mean, I'm not a big Tarantino fan. Honestly, he really hasn't made a great movie. Is Pulp Fiction. I'm probably gonna piss a couple people off about that saying that, but I don't give a fuck. It's my ass. It's the truth. Y'all know it. You know, but yeah. Not how my shit is. How my list of shit. Lincoln, I did want to see Lincoln, but unfortunately, Lincoln is, like I said, another one of those things where Lincoln has a 3-hour running time.
Yeah.
You know, so it was not. So it's another one of those. Missed it the first week, gone the next week, kind of thing. So My thing, but yeah, but like I said, back to the snub thing. Everybody is talking about how Dark Knight Rises was snubbed, and I don't see it as a snub. I just see it as, you know, just a continuation of what Hollywood normally does. I mean, the only comic book movie that you asked for that.
Yeah, just keep talking.
Okay. The only comic book movie that we probably would have seen in the best picture category was Dark Knight. Was the first Dark Knight. Even though I love Dark Knight Rises, it is not as good as Dark Knight. I don't consider it a snub. I mean, it's not a movie that, you know, it's just, I mean, you, like I said, you're never gonna see a comic book movie nominated for like best picture or something like that. You're probably never gonna see a actor who plays the lead in a comic book movie get nominated for like best actor or best actress or whatever. Yeah, these movies are always going to be, Oscars they'll get nominated for is stuff like, you know, for score, any of the technical Oscars, like, you know, sound effects, editing, special effects, costume design, stuff like that, they'll get nominated for, but you'll never see them in the top two category, you know, unless something just happens, I don't see any comic book movies in the near future that would probably even be in that kind of category, you know. But you know, so that's my take on it. I really don't give a shit. A lot of people are like pissed off about it. I'm like, fuck it. You're like, who gives a fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I pretty much say that to award shows anyway.
Right. Because, you know, all in all, this is the main thing about it. If you like the movie, who gives a fuck if it wins an award?
Yeah.
Other than the studio, where they can put the movie back out and make a little more money, you know, that's, you know, or, you know, or the director who just wants the prestige of having won this award. I mean, as a fan, I don't give a shit. You know, I mean, the last time I was like really excited for a picture I wanted to win Best Picture, you know, was Return of the King, and that was back in 2003. But you know, I felt that, like I said, but you know, that I think they did that as just a kind of a glad hand kind of thing because the Lord of the Rings movies together are so fucking awesome. They like, well, fuck, just give them something, you know, to shit people the hell up. But you know, that's just me. I don't give a shit if a movie I like is nominated and it wins an Oscar. I'm happy, but it doesn't change the fact that I love this movie. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a shit. You know, but some people do. That's why we're doing this goddamn.
All right. Let's see, this next category we got Best Supporting Actor.
Yay!
Christoph Waltz from Django Unchained, Philip Seymour Hoffman in The Master, Robert De Niro in Silver Linings Playbook, Alan Arkin in Argo, Tommy Lee Jones, Lincoln.
You know, have, like I said, none of these movies so fucking bad, man. That's another thing I hate about the Oscars. They never. Maybe I need to move to Atlanta. That's what I need to do. So I can actually go see some of these damn movies when they come out. You know, out of all those actors that were named, I am a very big Philip Seymour Hoffman fan. I just think, I mean, he's so talented. He can play anything. You can put him in the dumbest of movies, and he's like he would end up being the best thing in the movie. Nobody remembers that he's in the movie Twister. it's like one of the first movies I saw him. It's like the first movie I saw him in. And he is the funniest thing in the movie to me. You know, I mean, he could play anything from, you know, some funny guy like that to playing a bad, you know, the villain in Mission Impossible 3 and being absolutely terrifying. Mm-hmm. You know, to play, you know, I mean, he's a very good actor, though. You know, even though I have not seen this movie or any of these movies, I'm going to give it to Philip Seymour Hoffman because he is my favorite and he deserves to win.
Boom. All right. Yes. Let's see. We have Best Supporting Actress, Sally Field in what Lincoln. Oh, Best Supporting Actress. And actually, before we get into that, Adam Black is available. Add him to the call.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That was my voice going that high.
As JR would say, business is about to pick up.
Business is about to pick up.
Yo.
Hey.
Hey.
Welcome, sir.
Hey, what's up?
Welcoming Adam Black to the show.
What up, true believers?
Yes, get your catchphrase out. We just started the going down the Oscar nominations list.
Oh, awesome.
Let me send you a link, well, at least what I'm using to read from.
Okay.
You missed my rant. I already had a rant already. You missed it.
Only like in the second or third category.
Oh, God, what was it?
How people complain about how their movies don't get nominated.
Oh.
Right. Like, especially like comic book fans. Especially like comic book fans who get pissed off that, you know, like Dark Knight Rises or Avengers didn't get a Best Picture nod. I'm like, I could have told you that they weren't. I could have told you that. And why the fuck do you care? Is it going to diminish your love for the movie?
Was Star Wars ever nominated?
Never.
Yeah, I mean, was Star Wars or Star Trek any of those movies nominated?
None of the movies that are considered like the holy grail of geek movies,
yes,
were ever nominated for Best Picture or Best Actor or Best Actress or what? None of that. Never. Does not happen.
That's how I always approached it. So,
except for, there's a few.
Lord of the Rings was the one that did.
Yeah, Return of the King. Yeah, it's only geek film, you know, genre film that actually won the Best Picture Oscar. And I still say that was just a gimme. You know, I think they got enough pressure from enough people, and they were like, "Well, fuck it, again."
Yeah.
You know. Shout out to Rick James. When I was a young boy coming up in the ghetto.
So, let's see. We're on one of the best performing actresses, Adam Black.
Okay.
So.
Have you sent me the link through email or?
I put in the Skype chat.
Okay.
You see it?
Not yet.
Skype chat. Skype chat.
Okay. I've clicked it. And let's see what happens.
Ooh, that's good.
No, not Internet Explorer. Well.
Let's see, Best Supporting Actress. We have Sally Field in Lincoln. And Hathaway in Les Mis.
Not in Dark Knight Rises?
Nope. The one where she has the
nope,
boy haircut.
No, Anne Hathaway is Catwoman. No.
It's because they actually didn't call her Catwoman.
Ah,
right.
The cat burglar.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jackie Weaver in Silver Linings Playbook, Helen Hunt in The Sessions, and Amy Adams in The Master.
Ah.
See y'all? Comic book movies are being represented. We got Selina Kyle and Lois Lane in the same damn category.
Yes.
Same, bitch.
One of them needs to win.
Huh?
I said one of them needs to win.
One of them needs to win. I don't know who's going to win. I haven't seen any of these movies. You know what? I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say it probably will be Sally Field, because you know Oscars love a big, you know, kind of like period piece movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they love them,
and they love her. They really love her.
Right. They love her. They really like her. Shit. You know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, on
let's see. Best director: David O. Russell in Silver Linings Playbook, Ang Lee, Life of Pi, Steven Spielberg, Lincoln, Michael Haneke, I'm assuming that's how you pronounce it, Amour, Ben Zitlin, Beasts of the Southern Wild. I know I butchered that name.
That's Zeitlin.
Zeitlin.
Yes. That would probably be a toss-up between Ang Lee and Steven Spielberg. Has Steven Spielberg ever won Best Director?
I thought he did. Didn't he win for Schindler's List?
Schindler's List. He won for Schindler's List. That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Which is coming soon to Blu-ray, ladies and gentlemen. Please buy it. Okay.
What is?
Schindler's List.
Oh, okay.
Not like that. Not an easy movie to look at. You will cry for most of the movie.
Alright, so best actor: Daniel Day-Lewis, Lincoln; Denzel Washington, Flight; Hugh Jackman, Les Mis; Bradley Cooper, Silver Linings Playbook; Joaquin Phoenix, The Master.
Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah, we're gonna give this one to Daniel Day-Lewis, because let's face it, they fucking love Daniel Day-Lewis. The dude can do anything. Denzel, I don't know. I actually saw Flight, honestly. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, Flight's an excellent movie. It's just not Denzel's best. Denzel probably should win for this more than he should have won for Training Day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Training Day, but he's the only good part of that movie. He really is.
Yeah, we all know, most black people don't.
What's her girl name? Black people, what?
What are you going to say?
Hello?
What?
I'm sorry. Banff was going on. I was just saying most of us don't really like Training Day. We like Training Day for Denzel Washington, but we wish he didn't win the Oscar for that movie.
Right. Right. I still think he should have won Best Actor for Malcolm X, but he got cheated out of that.
That was, what's his name? Al Pacino, right?
Yeah, Al Pacino, yeah.
Same one day.
Al Pacino?
Mm-hmm.
Al Pacino. Not Al Pacino. Al Pacino.
Scarface, you're tearing this team apart.
No, I'm talking about Al Pacino from...
No, not that guy. No, no, not that guy.
No. All right. But hey, Wolverine is in there, so combat movies are represented.
Something like that.
Be satisfied.
Be satisfied.
That's what you're saying.
Right. Shut the fuck. Actually, shut the fuck up is what I'm saying.
Yes.
In the only way Mr. Bamp can say it.
Right.
Best actress: Naomi Watts, The Impossible; Jessica Chastain, Zero Dark Thirty; Jennifer Lawrence, Silver Linings Playbook, Emmanuel Riva, more.
Wow. If you can say that name.
Yeah. Is it Kuvin Jatne Wallace? Yes,
Wallace. Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Yeah.
Who do we like in this?
I
only recognize one name in here.
I recognize, you know, I know Naomi Watts and Jennifer Lawrence, of course.
Yeah. I don't know. The Kuvin Jatne, that girl is like 9, you know. She's like a 9-year-old little girl. And, I don't know, dude. I don't know about that one. I really don't. But Mystique is in this category.
Oh, yeah. I forgot she's Mystique now.
Mystique in the category. Yeah. Come with movies being represented. Holla.
Let's see. Best original screenplay. Zero Dark 30. So what's the difference between best original screenplay and best movie?
Well, the movie in general.
The movie is the best picture is the movie in general. Yep. Screenplay is the script.
Okay.
Right. Now you have best original screenplay, which is something somebody wrote off the top of their head. Mm-hmm. Best adapted screenplay is something that was written from a book or play.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay.
Or real life, you know what I'm saying? Or something from real life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Right. All right, so best original screenplay, Zero Dark 30, Django Unchained, Moonrise Kingdom, Amour, and Flight. I'm just going to take a guess and say Zero Dark 30 is going to win.
Probably. Intense as hell, that's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The best adapted screenplay, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, Argo, Life of Pi, Beasts of the Southern Wild.
I'll say Lincoln too.
I mean, I see a theme that the same movies pretty much are dominating every category, it seems.
Right. That's usually how it happens, you know.
Best animated feature. Now we get some new stuff. Frankenweenie, The Pirates, Band of Misfits, Wreck-It Ralph, Paranorman, and Brave.
I predict that a Disney movie is going to win this.
How many of these are Disney movies?
3? Frankenweenie, Wreck-It Ralph, and Brave?
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph is Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Wreck-It Ralph.
Cool.
That's the only one here I've seen.
We'll say Wreck-It Ralph somewhere.
Yeah. That or Brave. I heard Brave is really good.
Yeah. The reason I didn't really think too much of Brave is because they never revealed anything in the commercials. But supposedly there was a reason behind that. They didn't want to give away a main part of the plot by putting it in the commercials.
Never.
Alright, so best foreign feature, Amour, A Royal Affair, Kon-Tiki, No, War Witch.
Like I'm no idea.
Called No.
Oh!
No.
Is that the Spanish No? Since it's foreign?
Shut up, fool.
We don't have any opinion on this, do we?
No.
And I love foreign films. I just, you know, I'm like most Americans, don't get to see them until like a year after they are released foreign in their respective markets.
See, best visual effects. Life of Pi, The Hobbit and Unexpected Journey, The Avengers, Prometheus.
There you go, bitches.
And Snow White and the Huntsman. You know, like, here's your superhero movie. Take it and be quiet.
Right. Like I said, man, superhero movies are always going to get technical nominations. They're going to give this one the Life of Pi, though.
Yeah, I was going
to
say Avengers is going to win. Avengers was a great movie, but I don't think the visual effects were that great in it.
Right. I mean, don't get me wrong, y'all. And I don't want to get jumped on by the masses. I mean, yeah, Avengers was great and it looked good.
Mm-hmm. But Life of Pi was about a tiger on a boat.
In some water with a boy.
And they had to make it seem like they were on the boat together.
With that tiger row.
On a boat. On a motherfucking boat. I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. Everybody look at me because I'm sailing on a boat. I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. Take a good hard look at the motherfucking boat. I'm on a boat, motherfucker. Take a look at me. Straight floating on a boat on the deep blue sea. Busted by night, wind whipping at my coat. You can't stop me, motherfucker, because I'm on a boat. Picture trick.
I'm on a boat, bitch. We drinking Santana
champ, cause it's so crisp. I got my swim trunks.
Whoa. Sorry.
Yeah. So, you said, who did we say was gonna win?
Life of Pi.
Life of Pi, okay.
Yeah. Cause Life of Pi is a. Like, I promise you, Life of Pi is about a good 98% digital effect.
Maybe. Yeah.
The only two real things is the boy and the boat. Everything else
is a motherfucking boat.
Motherfucking boat.
Okay, man in his boot.
Right.
I see. Best cinematography: Skyfall, right.
Anna Karenina.
No.
Django Unchained, Life of Pi, and Lincoln.
Cinematography is just the overall look of the movie, right? How it looks on film, it's clear. And
Skyfall should win that.
Okay.
Best costume
design. If I'm pissed off about a snub, it's Skyfall. I'm sorry.
The best Bond film ever, not getting many nominations.
I mean, I don't give it best Bond film ever. I mean, it is definitely top three. But, I mean, we at least couldn't get like a supporting actress nod for Judi Dench, at least.
She did a good job.
I mean, at least.
That was the best, one she's been in.
You know, I ain't trying to get best picture. It's an action movie. I mean, because I know it's action film.
Action movies are definitely not going to get a nod.
Right, right. I know that. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Best costume design: Anna Karenina, Les Mis, Lincoln, Mirror Mirror, and Snow White and the Huntsman.
Okay. I've only seen Snow White and the Huntsman, so I'll go with that.
They had Thor in it, right?
Yeah, Thor was in it.
Snow White and Thor.
And I want to say this about that movie.
Right.
All
right.
And I meant to say this on the show before. There was a part where, Snow White played by...
Chick from Twilight.
Kristen Stewart. There's a part where, she's locked in the dungeon because of the wicked stepmother. Spoilers. And this is at the beginning of the movie. And once again, there was a part, and I told one of my coworkers this at my part-time job. The part where...
The Mighty Sherrod?
Not Sherrod. One of my female coworkers. I told her... She was like, there was a part in the movie where, of course, the mirror, the evil queen told the mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall, am I the most fairest of them all? That type of shit, right? All right. Once again, they picked Snow White, played by Kristen Stewart, at which in my head immediately, I didn't say it out loud, was there's got to be someone else. Now, here's the thing.
Right.
I mean, okay. She's built like a surfboard. That's all I got to say about that.
Look. Okay. Her as Snow White would work in a film if the evil queen, the evil stepmother, was not played by Charlize Theron.
Right.
It would work perfectly. I mean, that's Charlize Theron. I mean,
yeah, that's Kristen Stewart.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It's Charlize Theron. It's like,
places
wow.
What you're saying.
I don't right. even think that.
I mean, Charlize Theron is so beautiful. You know what I'm saying? And this ain't even like, a white, like, black dude looking blonde hair, blue eyed white girl. She's a beautiful woman. You know, it's like, you know, she is one of those women, she walk on screen, it's like, damn. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
and you know, meanwhile,
I'm sorry. She ain't pretty. She like a dude.
Yeah.
She look like she fucked girls.
And, you know, I mean, you know.
With no strap-ons.
But 2x4.
With no strap-ons. With no strap-ons and no condoms. She fuck girls.
They're like grinding on each other.
Rubbing clits together and shit. Yeah.
No. I didn't see it. I don't see it. And then, you know, she's in the movie coming up where she's... That I think it's John Kerouac, right? The on the road, and she's in it naked, and you know, did not want to see those pictures. Did not want to go out and download those pictures. No.
Ain't nobody trying for that.
No,
man, not really.
No.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
No.
Best documentary feature: Searching for Sugar Man, How to Survive a Plague, The Gatekeepers, Five Broken Cameras, The Invisible War.
I want to see How to Survive a Plague. That is some useful shit that we all need to know.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'll go for that. You know, I haven't seen it yet, but I'll go for that.
Best documentary short: Open Heart, Innocente, Redemption, King's Point, Mondays at Racine, Snow White and the Huntsman.
Huh?
That's a documentary.
I guess just maybe the documentary about that movie. I can only guess.
I don't give a fuck about that. Anyway, on to the next category. Who gives a shit?
Best film editing: Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, Life of Pi, Argo, Zero Dark Thirty.
Zero Dark Thirty. Intense as hell.
Oh, you gotta see. Best makeup and hairstyling: Hitchcock, The Hobbit, and Unexpected Journey, Les Mis. Next.
I mean, those people work hard on their makeup and hairstyling. I will have to give it up to Hitchcock.
Cool.
Best music original score: Anna Karenina, Argo, Life of Pi, Lincoln, and Skyfall.
Right. We're gonna get Skyfall, because let's face it, it's a James Bond song. Fuck them all.
And let's see, best
music. It's Adele.
What?
It's Adele. She's singing it.
Best music original song. You gotta go to the next page. I realize it's just 2 pages long.
I got it. It's Before My Time from Chasing Ice. Everybody Needs a Best Friend from Ted. Pi's Lullaby from Life of Pi. Skyfall from Skyfall. And Suddenly from Les Miserables.
Everybody Needs a Best Friend.
My words are lazy, my thoughts are hazy, but this is one thing I'm sure of: everybody needs a best friend. I'm happy I'm yours. You got a double who brings you trouble, and though you're better without me, everybody needs a best friend. I'm happy I'm yours. A fool could see decidedly.
Will not win. No. But we, I have seen Ted.
We said that same shit about It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp.
Yeah. This is true.
Shock of the night.
Hard Out Here for a Pimp.
Like, shock of the night.
Man, yeah, and all the racism that came afterwards. Uh-oh. Good grief.
Best
fuck online, and they said that 3-6 Mafia stole the award.
Right.
Oh, black people. All black people are thieves, huh?
Yeah.
All niggas steal.
Best production design: Anna Karenina, The Hobbit and Unexpected Journey, Les Mis, Life of Pi, and Lincoln. So production is like the set, right?
Yeah.
I'd have to give it to The Hobbit. It looks.
Yeah, The Hobbit hasn't won anything that we've gone through yet. Yeah. At least an hour.
The Hobbit will probably win like any kind of set decorations and all that, and set design and all that shit like
all
that.
The technical stuff.
Yeah, that's usually what all the Lord of the Rings movies win anyway, right?
Right. They're gonna win. Yeah, they win costume design and all that shit.
Alright, best short film animated, Adam and Dog. Uh-oh. That's me and my brother. Adam Black and Tim Dog.
Hilarious.
Yes, folks. At last.
We're gonna
get our recognition.
Yeah, we're getting our award. We're getting our Oscar. But Fresh Guacamole, Head Over Heels, Maggie Simpson in The Longest Daycare, Paper Man.
Let's give it to Maggie Simpson because Maggie is a Simpson.
Yes. I wonder when that aired.
It may have been part of like some.
And what did it air in front of?
Yeah.
I'll try and find out. There's Best Short Film Live Action.
That is Assad, Bokashi Boys, Curfew, Death of a Shadow, Dude Van in Shadow, and Henry.
Yes. We don't know who's going to win that.
No. I like the name.
You don't give a shit.
I like the name Bokashi Boys, though.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
The Longest Daycare featuring Maggie Simpson aired in front of Ice Age Continental Drift.
Ah,
that would have been fun to have seen.
Right.
If I wanted to see a Ice Age movie.
Yeah.
You could have left after the damn short happened. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, people go to see stuff just to see, like, the extended trailer for, like, Man of Steel and all that good stuff.
And leave.
I wouldn't, but people have done that.
You know. Alright,
Best sound editing. Got Argo, Django Unchained, Life of Pi, Skyfall, and Zero Dark Thirty.
Sorry, Skyfall. Zero Dark Thirty.
Had some good sound editing, huh?
Y'all have to see this movie, man. It's like, it is a blow you away kind of film. It's not a movie that you want to see twice, but you definitely want to see it once so you can say that you were there.
Definitely going to check the Dollar Movie here, Dollar Theater, and see what's playing so I can see how close it'll be before it shows up. Hey, Taken 2 is playing.
Yeah.
Huh?
Taken 2 only got 21% on Flitster.
Sucks that bad, huh?
Apparently.
I actually did get it. The Miz did want it.
Alex Cross got 12%.
That cat. Oh.
Yes.
I actually do want to see it just because it is an Alex Cross movie. But, yeah.
Have fun with that.
Tyler Perry is playing Alex Cross, dude.
Tyler Perry?
With the guy from Party of Five.
Right.
Is that the guy from Lost?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I can call him from that then, since that was,
You talking about someone from
the more recent?
Yeah, something more recent. That was successful. And last category, best sound mixing.
Ficky, ficky, ficky!
Got Argo, yeah. Got Les Mis, got Life of Pi, got Lincoln, and we got Skyfall.
Yeah, baby. They'd be mixing on the ones and twos.
That's what I would.
Baby, baby. So, yeah. That's our very quick overview of the 2013 Oscar nominees.
But, yeah.
The award show takes place sometime. I don't know.
Let me go back to the first page.
I'm sure it says.
Hold on, I can get to it. Damn it.
Okay.
February 24th.
Yeah, February 24th. Alright, so that just leaves us with some. Someone needs to mute their browser.
Sorry. Was that me?
Might be me. Oh, that is me.
Okay. Ha! How the hell you gonna call somebody out and it's your ass that's doing the shit?
Y'all, could y'all actually hear it, or was that? Could I just hear it?
I didn't hear anything, really.
I won't paint the shit at my
mouth. Oh, okay. Alright, so.
I'm saying about Jodie Foster. I didn't know she came out. Hey, Jodie.
It's like I heard she came out, but she didn't really come out. So, yeah. One of those type things. Let me read some comments on from the website. I haven't been reading these lately, so I gotta see how far back to go. Okay, I think I know where to go. Let's see. I'll start with the Amazing Spider-Man 700 post. Actually, I'll start one back because I'm not sure if I read this from Dave Nappy. He was responding on the Avengers 2 review. Hickman's storytelling style takes some getting used to. It may be a little dense for some. I've learned to enjoy it, especially coming off of his FF stuff. I like the Pena's art on this issue. I agree that this issue seemed to look cleaner in terms of the art. That last two-page sequence made me want to run through a brick wall for Cap. I have high hopes for this series. Thanks, Dave. And let's see. Here's an Amazing Spider-Man 700 review comment from DM. He must be responding to something I said. Yeah, I think you're right. My next guess is that residue of Peter's brainwave still exists in his body's brain. Eventually, Peter's consciousness will start to come to the surface, and then a battle for control of the body will take place. Oh, actually, he's quoting what I said. Okay. Hey, I actually was right. You look at Superior Spider-Man. It says, it would be reminiscent of Hero Sylar when Parkman compelled him to take on the good guy persona, and then Sylar's world starts to slowly crumble from within. But the character evolved, so who knows? Maybe Doc Ock / Parker will become a split personality until they find a new host for Doc Ock's brainwaves. His brainwaves might even end up in the Doc Ock / Parker sire child with MJ, and thus allowing redemption and rebirth. That's how I do it anyway. And let's see. Here's Eclectic from the Eclectic Discussion Podcast. Also commenting on my Amazing Spider-Man 700 review. Boo! Laugh out loud. So after all of that, nothing happened. Peter Parker is still Spider-Man, man. Man, the last man in capital letters. Same body, same face, same age, same memories, just a slight different brain. His old brainwaves will battle back and he will be full again. Boo! Where's Madame Web? She'll fix this. Good review, dog. Marvel should hire you, stat. Thank you, sir. And also, make sure to check out the Eclectic Discussion Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, along with the Cold Slither Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And let's see, Dave Nappy again responding to my Amazing Spider-Man 700 review. Finally read it, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. It was interesting hearing Ock's personality come through. Excellent review. Disappointed that MJ Watson doesn't sense that there is something different, though. And then Dave again responding to my Comic Book Chronicles episode 6 Marvel Now Thoughts podcast. I picked up Avengers Arena number 1, and it was interesting, but issue number 2 failed to make it home with me last week. I'm glad you are enjoying it so far. Avengers number 2 was a pretty fun read, and Marvel continuity is a fairly loose continuity. I think Marvel editorial has a loose idea of how everything fits together, and I believe at some point in the future, a writer like Kurt Busiek will come along and start filling in the gaps a la Marvel's. Let's see, John Araki, aka Joannis3000 on Twitter, responding to our Best of 2012 podcast. In today's show, I learned that Andre3000 will eat your food in front of you. I need to actually finish it. So I can get that reference.
Yes, he will, goddammit. Man, don't look. Don't raffles. Mm-hmm. Say no to the Andre3000 guest feature on your song.
Why?
He will eat. Oh, dude, Andre3000 be manhandling cats on their damn shit, man.
Oh, you saying he does better than they do?
Yeah.
Every single time.
Hey.
Never fail.
Yep.
Never fail. Never fail. Every time. It's like, why are you putting yourself through this trauma? You know, he's fantastic.
Yes, we've known for years.
Right, we've known for years. It's just now the rest of the world is catching up. Like, well, bitch, we knew this back in 94.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are late.
Southern Playalistic.
That's right. That light funky music.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and final comment is from Howard Deck from the Undisputed Fire podcast. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio to the Undisputed Fire podcast. He's responding to the Comic Book Chronicles episode 7, Amazing Spider-Man 700 podcast. Finally getting to listen to this. It's the first podcast of any kind I've had time for in about 2 months. I DM'd with Classic the night I read this. Wish I could have joined in on this discussion, as it is the first comic issue I've had that many feelings about in a long time. Actually, I think it was the mass reaction to it that I had passionate feelings about more than the issue itself. Bravo, great episode so far. You three are funny and informative as always. That Will guy really should get his own podcast. Tim didn't even know how to intro someone who doesn't do a podcast. Yeah, yes. It was kind of strange. But thanks again to Classic Material and William Bruce West for joining me for that podcast. And we'll check, make sure we have any iTunes let's see if I get to it. Oh, iTunes Store. Wait, as we do this live, I doubt we have any iTunes reviews. As I watch the Real Husbands of Hollywood, whatever show in the background.
Yep.
Is that coming on again?
Yeah, it comes on at 11, I think.
Awesome.
And now people on Twitter are already killing it.
What? That's good, or
that
they're loving it?
Oh, that that sucks. That's the world of Twitter negativity. All right, let's see.
Everything sucks on Twitter.
Yeah. Ratings and reviews. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No new iTunes reviews. So we're good there. Haven't got any emails. Oh, I do. Let's see. Quick, I guess since we're going from comments, we're going to get to sort of plugs. I want to plug Joannis3000's brother. Talked to him on Facebook. Linus is his first name. I believe he's a DJ out in... I wish I knew what part of the country he's in. Give me 1 second.
Damn.
The conversation took place on Facebook. Like near the end of last year, so I gotta rejog the memory, and by rejog I mean actually just going and pulling the conversation.
That might be that.
Where is he? There he is. Basically, I'm gonna try to have him, maybe have him guest on a show in the future. Let's see. He said he heard via his bro about the Clit Nation podcast. He was hoping we'd review a song or two of his. He's a basement MC and an event DJ, and he's putting together his first album. And he goes, website. Oh yeah, he said feel free to use my tracks as filler music or whatever. Yeah, we definitely got to do it.
Always looking for music.
So yeah,
right.
So we'll try to work something out and get him hopefully to maybe guest on a show. We can do a little interview. He can talk about some of the projects he's working on. So yeah, stay tuned for that, Linus and John.
Right. Our West Coast. And we'll actually listen to your songs, and I hope they're good. Oh God.
Our West Coast Click affiliates. And
I'm just saying. I mean.
No, I'm sorry. Crazy. I'm laughing at this shit you put on Facebook. Banff.
Which one?
The End Zone presents the Please Martin Luther stop. King Weekend Blast.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that on Twitter earlier Bullshit. Today.
Bullshit! I'm gonna send a picture to Tim so he can post it on the damn website so y'all can see the bullshit. That is that damn picture.
Oh, I can get it from your I can get it from your feed.
Get it from my feed. That is all ratchetness. Ratchetness.
Terrible.
And it sounded like
coons come out at night.
Shout outs to Zenoscope, the comic book company, for sending me an email yesterday to promote they're doing a spring / summer crossover event called Unleashed, I believe is what it's called. Zenoscope Entertainment to Unleash Epic Grim Fairy Tales event, and they're calling their crossover Unleashed. And Zenoscope is basically a comic book company that sort of deals with a lot of the I'm trying to think how to explain it. They deal with like the Grimm Fairy Tales universe with like Robin Hood and.
Was that the one with the sexy Alice in Wonderland?
Yeah.
Thing? Okay.
Basically, think of like the ABC show Once Upon a Time. They deal with all those characters. Seems like.
Oh.
Like Sleeping Beauty and Mulan and all those like iconic characters. That they deal with them in the comic book form, and they're doing a crossover event in the spring. It starts April 2013 and goes through September 2013. So I'm gonna try to delve into their comic book universe a little bit to lead up to that, so at least I become a little bit familiar with their books. But yeah, all I did was they had sent a tweet out sort of promoting the event, and I retweeted it, and then like a couple minutes later some guy from Zenoscope sent an email to the Click Nation email with the press release for it. So thank you.
Appreciate it.
Any shout outs you fellas want to give?
Shout out to Dave Nappy and William B. West. William B. West for trying to school Tim on Firestorm, because Tim didn't understand Firestorm at all. Then we tried to explain it best we could.
You was mentioning before. I know what Firestorm is. I just don't understand why
his head's on fire.
Why his head's on fire and why he has the name Fire in his name.
Woo!
he thought his powers were fire based.
His power should be. His name is Firestorm.
No, his powers are not fire based.
No, His
powers are molecular.
Yeah,
based.
He manipulates stuff. Yet his head is on fire like he's freaking Ghost Rider.
Dude, look. It was a design choice. Okay, design choice. Yeah. Calm down. design.
True, he, you know, is partially kind of designed like he's some type of dancer with those billowy arm, those sleeves on his shirt. But still,
I mean, right?
Like, he's the nuclear man.
Like the fins on Batman's gloves, they are absolutely useless.
Yeah,
they are just
why
a design.
Why does he have those? Thing.
Why does he have them?
What is the deal?
You know, I mean, dude, you can't question Firestorm. You can't.
No. Yeah. Leave Firestorm alone. Leave him alone! Anyway, and Dave Nappy, we went back and forth talking about Falcons, or about the playoff games, of which I went 1-3 in my picks. Who knew that the Atlanta Falcons would actually win a playoff game?
Yeah, bitches.
I'm a Falcons fan, and I didn't expect them to win that game. It is funny to see on ESPN when they show, this morning on ESPN2, they show people actually watching the game that recorded their, you know, family and friends watching the game.
Damn.
And all Seattle Seahawks fans just getting disappointed, like kids walking away. Oh, no! Crying. Loved it.
They had to show the little kids crying like that.
They did. That shit was funny. That goes back to that damn kid that was crying during the NBA playoffs when LeBron and the Heat won. That shit was hilarious.
Hilarious.
I hate you, bro. Love it.
So, yeah.
However, you will see a videotape of a 36-year-old man cry when the Falcons lose to the 49ers this weekend.
What?
It's their only chance. They are getting back.
Whatever.
Just saying.
Whatever. I'm so glad I am that much of a nerd that I am not a sports fanatic. I sit and cry over real shit, over shit that fucking matters, like bad comic book movies.
Yes. like your comic book movie's not getting nominated.
No, I don't give a fuck about that.
No.
I just want them good. I don't give a fuck with them. They ain't got to be nominated.
Mm-mm. And we'll probably never see that ever happen. Yeah, but we got our, the Saturn Awards and all those other things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, cool. I forgot to send a tweet out earlier tonight asking people about the if any movies or snubs or whatnot for our discussion on the Oscars, and PCN_dirt from the Pop Culture Network replied, "Nothing for Tron this year? !! It should win every year."
No shit. Tron sucks, dude.
Just had to
first
add
the original. The original and the sequel suck.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go
ahead.
No, I was saying I've only seen the remake, and that was, I was like, that's it?
Yeah, all this. Fucking, you know, I mean, I know people hold it in such high esteem, and oh, that's Tron. Okay. That shit sucks. It's not good. I'm sorry. Hate your little geek hearts. Actually, I don't give a damn. Anywho.
Any other shout outs to go around?
Nope, I have none.
Thanks for listening.
So yes, once again, thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Click Nation Podcast. Just go to the website, theclicknation.com. You can find all our social media accounts and ways to contact and interact with us. For Mr. Adam Black and Mr. Banff, I am Tim D-O-double-G, and we are the Click Nation, and we are signing off. So you're back on the wolf pack. 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 You might wind up in a body bag. This wasn't no movie.
The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Fourth pack is back, cause I'm mass destruction. Guess who's here? The bad boys arresting. Just in competition when the war does their mission. Not no mercy, see the race like the street. If you don't know, you better find out the war pack. Prove a point, number one, best believe that you don't wanna tussle with them. I'll be there for them, coming to grave with them, you're never walking out again. So you're